Now, how many people in here would be willing to admit that you know you're selfish? Keep the hands up. Let me see the... I'm not looking for the hands that's up. I'm looking for the liars whose hands are down. The reality is all of us have some level of selfishness in us. Amen. Can I get an amen right there? I can look back over my life and see periods and times when I've been selfish. Now, for those of you who didn't have your hands up, obviously you don't see yourself as selfish, and most selfish people don't see themselves as selfish. If there's any question in your mind about whether or not you're selfish, ask your spouse. I'm sure they'll be able to tell you. Or ask somebody close to you if you're not married. I asked my wife if I was selfish. She began to text me a series of things. Here's what she said to me. I don't understand this first one. It's what I want for dinner after a meal has been prepared. I'm wanting something different for dinner after the meal's been prepared. I come home and I don't want what y'all have already eaten, and I don't want what y'all have. No, no, no. All right, here's another one. Turning on the light when I walk into the bedroom late at night and you're asleep. But if I don't have no lights, I can't see. Oh, use a flashlight. Okay. I didn't know. I know now. Okay. All right. I got you. Would you prefer I not come in the room at all? Okay, never mind. That was selfish. That was selfish. Let me pull it back. I'm sorry. I take it back. Okay, hold on. Let me go on. Turn the TV on early in the morning when I'm asleep. Oh, but here's what she wrote. This is all I can think of because you have worked on this a lot. Well, I'm trying. I know there were times in my marriage when I walked home, she'd be watching TV. I'd grab the remote control and change the channel to what I wanted to watch. Instead of y'all saying, oh, some of y'all need to say, ouch. But some of y'all do the same thing. But God's working on me. I'm doing better. And I'm here today to talk. Amen. I'm doing better. And I thought we should talk about this because I believe there's several selfish people on your row. Amen. If everybody say amen, nobody know I'm talking about you. I thought we should talk about it because it is an issue in our culture. It's an issue in the world where people live selfishly. We live in the midst of a culture now where people think it's all about them. It's all about me, what makes me happy. And really, the reality is selfishness will put to a person's own agenda, desires, and wants above what's best for everybody else. Wow, go ahead, Pastor. That's deep. And it's a problem because it makes its way it's not only prevalent in our culture, it's prevalent in our communities, and it's prevalent in our schools, and prevalent in our families, and in our marriages, and with our kids. It's prevalent in the church. You can tell it when you come to church because people are fighting for parking spaces. Fighting for seats in the sanctuary. Well, not in this sanctuary now, but in our previous building. People would fight for seats. And they lie and say they had seats and they didn't have no seats in there. And when really, when you are a believer, when you are a disciple of the Lord, the real mentality ought to be sacrifice. You ought to be thinking of others and giving to others. Instead of fighting for a parking space, we ought to be saying, no, you take the parking space. Matter of fact, it ought to be so prevalent in our church and in our hearts and in our lives with how we treat each other. We ought to be saying to each other in our cars, You go first. No, you go first. No, you go first. But the reality is, people are so selfish to want what they want that a lot of people will even get up and leave before church is over so they can get out of the parking lot before everybody. That is the height of selfishness. What if everybody did what you did? What if everybody decided to get up and leave before the benediction so they could get a beat on the parking, on the traffic in the parking lot? What if everybody did that? I'm asking y'all a question. It is the height of selfishness to get up and walk out at the most sacred time of the service. It is the height of selfishness to come and receive from this church month after month, year after year, decade after decade, but never become a part of the ministry and join and put something back in. There's a lot of people at this church that come that are not members. They don't belong to nobody's church. They just come and receive the benefit of ministry but put nothing back in. That's selfish. It's selfish for you to come and be a member of the church. Call yourself a member of Good Standing. Tell people you are a member of the First Baptist Church of Glenard and put it on your resume. But you ain't in no ministry. Go on and talk, Pastor. It's selfish to complain that you can't get your kids in the Sunday school during service when the problem is we don't have enough teachers to help make it happen, but you complain about it. It's selfish. I'm rolling on right here. I'm going on. It's selfish, selfish, selfish. Wow, man. That's the youth, young adult and children and youth pastor right there. Director. The definition of selfish means to be devoted to the caring of oneself only. You're devoted to taking care of yourself. That's all you care about is yourself. Me, myself, and I. Some of you are very selfish on your job. It's not about advancing your business or company. It's all about advancing your career. Here's what I discovered. Psalm 75, jot it down. Don't have time to turn there. Verse 6 and 7. Psalm 75, verse 6 and 7 says, promotion doesn't come from the east, west, or south. Promotion comes from God. What does that mean? That means it's not about you putting yourself up in front, pushing yourself out front, making yourself so important. It is not about that. What this message is about and what the gospel is about and what being a servant is about and what being promoted by God is about is serving others, putting others first, putting others in front of you, and God in due season elevating you. And the thing about when God elevates you, can't nobody pull you down. But for many people, it's all about what you want, what makes you happy, what satisfies you, what appeases you. Let me take these few moments that I have and talk about three things. Number one, let me talk about the danger of selfishness. Can we talk about the danger? It's right here in verse 3. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. There it lines up the two dangers, selfish ambition and conceit. Selfish ambition. To campaign for a position, putting yourself forward. Selfish ambition, marching yourself, making as though you are all that. Selfish ambition means to promote yourself. Conceit means to have a vain opinion about yourself. I hate to tell you this, but I want you to lean over and tell your neighbor. I know you think you all that. But you're not all that. Go ahead, tell them, you ain't all that. Tell your neighbor you are not all that. Did y'all tell them? Okay, all right, maybe that's not a nice way of saying it. Let me put it this way. Let's put it this way. Let's reword it. I know you think you are that and a bag of chips. But there ain't nothing but two chips in your bag. Go ahead, tell them that. Pastor, why you say that? Here's why I say this. You're not all that, because if you die, life goes on.
If you die, the company keeps on going. If you die, the church is not going to stop. If you die, ain't nobody going to stop living because you died. But yet some of us feel as though we're all that. And we're so important and we're so high and mighty and so significant. But the reality of the fact is, you are not all that. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that men are lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. We love ourselves more than we love God. That's selfishness. The one who wakes us up every morning, gives us the activities of our limbs, protects us when we could be dead. God has protected us from so many things that we didn't even see that He protected us from. But we're so focused on ourselves, we're so selfish that we don't even take the time to say thank you for what you did for me all week long. The spirit and attitude of men today are like so many in the Bible. Achan in Joshua chapter 7, who was told with the children of Israel, when you conquer Jericho, destroy everything. Wipe everything out. Don't keep nothing. But Achan, when the children of Israel went into Jericho after the walls came tumbling down and they went and they were supposed to destroy everything, Achan, that one joker, that one fella, Achan, saw a Gucci sweater that he wanted to keep for himself. That's what it says. He saw some Babylonian garments that he decided to take and keep. And he took it back to his tent and hid it among his stuff so that when the children of Israel went to their next battle, they lost because there was sin in the camp. One person with the spirit of selfishness can mess up a whole family. One father, one husband who models selfishness in front of his family and in front of his children, and then you wondering why your children are so selfish. They got it honestly because they watched how you have behaved. One mother who, instead of setting the tone in the house and setting the spirit of the family with her selfish attitude, wonders why her children behave so selfishly. They got it honestly. Look how selfish y'all are. Y'all can't even say amen to the truth. It is a danger. It is a danger. Somebody holler, say it's dangerous. Turn to your neighbor, say it's dangerous. It's dangerous to think the world revolves around you. It's dangerous to keep pushing yourself forward, promoting yourself. Selfish ambition, vain opinion, thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. But hear what Paul says to the Philippian church. He gives them, point two, some directives. He gives them some directives. Somebody say directives. He gives us a solution. How do we handle? Well, how do we deal with our selfishness? What do we do to get out of this selfish mold that we have and who we are? I'm glad you asked the question, because he gives us several models of what we need to do. Here's the first thing he tells us in verse 3. He says in verse number 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. So there's the first directive. Have lowliness of mind. Somebody say, have lowliness of mind. Lower your thinking of yourself. Stop thinking that you're all that. Recognize, here's what you got to say. Instead of thinking you so good, so bad, so awesome, so anointed, so gifting, so mighty, so strong, instead recognize this. Have lowliness of mind. And here's what that means. It means that without Jesus, I am absolutely nothing. That's what lowliness of mind means. Lowliness of mind says, and instead of me looking down on other people, lowliness of mind says, there but by the grace of God goes I. Had it not been for God's grace, I'd be tore up from the floor up. I'd be messed up from in every capacity. That's what lowliness of mind means. Lowliness of mind means I need Jesus every hour, every moment, every day. I need Him on my job. I need Him when I'm raising my kids. I need Him when I'm loving my spouse. I need Him in church. I need Him in every component. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Lowliness of mind means without God ordering my steps and orchestrating my days and leading my life, I'm going to be a jacked up, toe up from the flow up joker. Having lowliness of mind not only lowers yourself, but it says right here, you esteem others. Do y'all see that? Esteem others better than yourself. And listen, here's what that directive means. It means when you have lowliness of mind, it means that instead of comparing yourself to other people and saying you're better than somebody, you make other folk better than you. Let me let that soak in for a minute. That's how some of us do. Many of us compare ourselves. And the scripture warns us, don't compare yourself with yourself. Don't compare yourself with other people. Amen. But instead, esteem others. Look at others as better. Listen, bow to them. When you esteem others, you say, no, you take the lead. No, you be the leader. You make the choice. You make the decision. It is putting others in a better situation than yourself. But he didn't stop there. When he talks about this directive, he not only says that you should have lowliness of mind, but in verse 4 he says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. In other words, he says, give consideration to other people. Is that something you can do? Can you give consideration to others? Can you at least consider what somebody else may want? There are more people in the ship than you. There's more people, and I'm guilty because my wife said I'm guilty of, they done made dinner, the family done ate dinner, I come home, I don't want what she done made. I'm guilty, he working on me. But the reality is, I'm saying to myself, if I bought the food, I ought to be able to get what I want for dinner. But that's selfishness. That's selfish. I'm acknowledging it's selfish. I need to learn to eat what has been prepared. Working on me. I acknowledge I have issues. I do. I keep telling y'all I'm a jacked up joker. I'm jacked up. I'm the president of the jacked up ministry. I'm the pastor of the jacked up Baptist church. I'm jacked up. He working on me. I'm working. I haven't gotten there yet. I done worked hard all day dealing with y'all. Working all day. When I come home, I want to eat something that I want to eat. I'm working on me. Yeah, it's going to take a while. It ain't going to happen overnight. And it definitely ain't going to happen tonight. Somebody said he working on me. I'm a work in progress. Pray for me. Point to me. Intercede on my behalf. Say, Lord, help him. I have periods and seasons, years, but God's working on me that I have to begin to give consideration to what other people want. Even though I do pay the bills, I have to give consideration to what other people want. It's not all about me, even though I pay the bills. It ain't about me. I'm preaching to myself right now, y'all. I'm trying to make myself believe what I'm preaching right now. Y'all will get that in the morning sometime. I gotta hurry up. I act like I got all day. How do I do that? Because it is a problem. It's a challenge. It's a challenge, y'all. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. Because you think it's all about you. But then he shifts into how we can do it. The directive is not only to have a lowliness of mind and to give considerations to others, but the directive also is to change your thought life. Somebody say, change your thought life. And it starts at verse 5. Look at verse 5. He tells us, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Do y'all see that? If you're going to stop being selfish, you have to have a different state of mind. And he says, you need to have the mind in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Slow down. Let me show that to you for just a moment. He had the mind of Christ. Jesus had the mind that we need to have. He demonstrated what selfishness looks like, and he made himself of no reputation. That's what it starts off with. He humbled himself and made himself of no reputation. It was not about his reputation. He took the form of a bondservant. You have to take the form of a servant. Now here's the deal. We have people lining up to be leaders, but we don't have a lot of people lining up to be servants. You got to have the mindset to be a servant. And that attitude of servanthood plays the piece of importance no matter where you are, no matter what you do. And so, you know, you got to be a servant. Somebody say, be a servant. I knew I was going to be preaching about this. So yesterday I was trying to be a servant around the house. When different things was happening around the house, I tried to be a servant. I mopped the kitchen floor yesterday. Come on, show the pastor some love. My daughter said, "Dad, why are you mopping the floor?" Which didn't make me feel good. It was her way of saying, "I'm not used to seeing you do that, Dad." That's because I'm out working hard to bring the money in to pay for the floor. I see y'all not feeling my drift here. You have to change your mindset of being a servant. It's about serving. Looking for opportunities to serve. There are plenty of opportunities to serve. They're not absent. They don't disappear. They're always there. There are always opportunity to grab the mindset and say, "Let me serve." And Jesus here says, the scripture says about Jesus that he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Here's what that means. He was God wrapped up in, he was God, and yet he wrapped himself up in human form. He lowered himself from his throne in glory and came down through 40 and two generations, and he lowered himself and became a man. Being found in appearance as a man, verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He served so much that he's willing to die. He died. When's the last time you died? Oh, I'm not talking about physically dying. I'm talking about dying to your hopes, your wants, your dreams. When's the last time you let what you really wanted be put to death for the sake of serving others? Ooh. We thick right there. It's thick. It's thick. It's hot. It's heavy right there. It's this tension in the room. Because many of you can't think of a time that you died to what you wanted. I ain't talking about you just put it on the back burner till the next time. I'm talking about dying to it. Sacrificing it. Giving it up. In order to serve somebody else. I don't know why I knew that y'all would not be jumping up and down and running around on this message right here. But it's life changing. And why is that? Because there's a dividend. Here's my third and final point. There's a dividend. Somebody say a dividend. When you follow the directives, when you have lowliness of mind, when you give consideration to others, when you change your thought life, when you lay down your life, there's a dividend. And this is in verses 9 through 11. Therefore, because he did all of those things, therefore, because he humbled himself, lowliness of mind, gave considerations, had a different way of thinking, because he laid down his life, verse 9, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those things in heaven and of those things on earth and of those things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What does that mean? The dividend, the reward of selfishness is that God will highly exalt you. If you don't ever remember any sermon I ever preached for the rest of my time at this church, if you can never remember a sermon that I preached even before now, please remember this, that the secret to being successful with God, the secret to being elevated by God, the secret to being promoted by God is sacrificing. The secret is being selfless instead of selfish, and in due season, God will elevate you, God will lift you up, God will promote you, and when God promotes you, nobody can pull you down. God exalted Jesus and gave him a name that was above every name, and God glorified him. And if you will become selfless, God will promote you in due season. So here's the challenge. Here's what I'm talking to you about right now. Here's what I'm saying. I'm finished. I'm coming to a close. I'm bringing my plane in for a landing. I am coming in for a landing. Think about from the moment you leave here today, for the rest of the day, ask God to show you ways that you can be selfless and not selfish. Ask God to show you ways that you have to stop trying to push your agenda forward. Stop trying to get it your way all the time. Ask God to show you ways that you can overcome selfishness. I'm working on me. I'm a work in progress. I haven't gotten there yet. I haven't arrived. But I can thank God I'm not as bad as I used to be. I used to come in, my wife be watching TV, I grab the remote control and change the channel. I'm better than that now. Amen. I ask her, can I change the channel? No, I actually watch the show she's watching. I did. She only watches the Home and Gardening Channel. So I'm watching the Home and Gardening Channel. Design on a Dime. Property Brothers. Them some bad twins right there. Them brothers are bad. House Hunters. We sit down and say, I wonder which house they gonna pick. I would pick number three. I'd pick number two. No, they're gonna pick number one. I'm watching House Hunters. Encourage me. And I tell people one time, I'm almost finished. One time, I tell people this all over the country. One time, when I was learning how to be selfless and not just changing the channel, I remember one time Maryland, the University of Maryland basketball team was going to be playing Duke on a weeknight, and I'm just like, man, how am I going to get to watch the game? She gonna, you know, I'm trying to do this selfless thing, but I found out that she had to be in church that night. Won't he do it? Won't he make a way out of no way? Hey! I gotta hurry up, y'all. I'm finished. But I discovered that God had been working on me. Because while I was watching the basketball game, during the commercials, I was flipping over to the Home and Gardening Channel. Stand on your feet and give the Lord a shout today.
Today's dynamic message from Pastor Jenkins is one that has the power to change your life. But it can only do so if you have a heart and soul that belong to Jesus Christ. Perhaps you want to be able to make such a claim, but you don't know how. It's simple. You just have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose again with all power. Your sins are now forgiven, and you're part of the family of God. Welcome. Maybe you're already saved and in need of a church home, one that will nurture your growth and development as a Christian. Or perhaps you were once in fellowship with God, but have since drifted away and are ready to return to your first love. Whatever the case, we'd love to have you become a part of the First Baptist family. Simply contact us at 301-773-3600 or visit our website at www.fbcglenarden.org for more information on any one of our four convenient services or our 100-plus ministries designed to meet your most intimate needs. First Baptist Church of Glenarden, where God is developing dynamic disciples.